It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
What better time to celebrate the first week of August than to recognize the official flower of August, the gladiola? Often associated with a 40th wedding anniversary, Scott Joplin's ragtime classic, The Gladiola Rag, or as the final challenge in the first National Spelling Bee back in 1925, the glorious gladiola is a mainstay in many cut flower gardens. The long, spiky stem, stacked with exotic-looking blossoms, often provide a fan-shaped background for formal arrangements, and the color choices and flower types give a floral designer a lot to work with. Glads are sometimes called the sword lily because of the shape of the long, layered leaves on upright stalks. They can be traced back to ancient Greece and Rome, with their name coming from the Latin gladius, meaning sword. Many modern glads have descended from Africa, where they once blanketed the area along the Mediterranean known as the Barbary Coast. Many were sent back to Europe, including a spectacular yellow and orange variety that was found flourishing in the mists of Victoria Falls by an English engineer who built a railway bridge over the Zambezi River in 1904. But many of the newfound African glads were exposed to a dry season, surviving on their underground tuber root that maintained the plant during its dormant winter before spring rains brought it back to life. Sometimes called a gladiolus bulb, it's actually a corm, which is a swollen underground stem. Each year, a new corm forms on top of the old one, which shrivels and dies away. The new corm is host to a bud, which produces the bloom stalk with that season's glorious gladiolas. In Africa, the corms were admired for their beauty, but also harvested, roasted over hot coals, and eaten by native tribes. European travelers who tried them compared their taste to roasted chestnuts. This is probably why they're attractive to mice and squirrels, who will gladly polish off a gladiola, especially in wintertime when other chow is less plentiful. This, as well as the fact that glads are susceptible to winter freezes, is a good reason to lift them from the garden soil once they've bloomed and the foliage has died back. Store them in a ventilated space that holds a cool temp of 35 to 50 degrees by hanging them in mesh bags or old nylon stockings. Gladiola corms will serve you well for about 6 years, but after that, they'll begin to tire and won't produce vigorous bloom stalks. You can replace them by buying new corms in early spring, or you can grow your own replacements by collecting and planting the little cormels that are produced from the base of the main corm. Plant full-sized corms to a depth of 6 inches, or 3 to 4 inches for smaller ones. Mulching in our hot, dry weather country will keep them happy, as will a weekly deep watering rather than daily spritzes that do little to provide the moisture needed. And on our windswept plains, it's a good idea to stake the tall stalks by tying them to supports. A little TLC for gladiolus will give great rewards in return. So why not give glads a try in next year's flower bed or along the edge of your vegetable patch? I'll bet you'll be glad you did.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.